Yeah, who cares as long as it's a hit?
They are?
Okay.
The whole crew?
The whole crew. WLAC Radio. What do you remember?
John Richbird.
Paul Salad.
Yeah. The Masters. You know, we're talking about legends. We're talking about names that will never die. There's no tombstone to print what these names mean. It's in cyberspace.
Yeah.
You know, these are names that are in heaven because back in the early 50s and 60s, and even the 70s, when you'd hear, this is John R., you know, this is Hoss Island.
Baby chicks.
Selling them baby chicks, man.
Selling them Bibles.
Selling them Bibles. You know,
soul
whatever,
medals.
Whatever. Whatever you needed, man. He had it. Well, that was good for your heart. He had it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he had that music for you. He had that song with Burke Eckert and James Brown.
That's right. The Jet Star Blues Special.
Oh, man. What are you talking about? Who was in this package tonight? We got Bobby Blue Bland, James Brown, Lil Junior Walker, Jimmy Reed.
You got his voice
Etta
down.
James. Man, if you don't get this package, only $9.95. You can get it tonight.
That's right.
Get your money order in the mail. I'll tell you what you do. You do it real quick. $2 more will send you 25 baby chicks. So not only we have some good music, you have some good chicken.
That's right. I remember, I grew up with those guys. And so did millions of other people.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. There is no tombstone.
Well, you know, there's a legend that says that's how Kentucky Fried Chicken got started.
Really? Really?
From the baby chicks.
I know the two guys that own Blacktop Records give credit to John R. and the Hoss Man because they grew up listening.
You're talking about Norm?
Yeah.
Norm,
yeah.
Those are funny guys.
Yeah.
That's a comedy team.
Yes?
Those guys are a comedy team. Those are the funniest guys I've ever met in this business.
In what respect?
They are just very comical. They are hilarious. They can say things that are just unbelievable. And they are unbelievable.
You know what? You have 21 children.
21 children and 49 grandchildren.
Oh, my God.
Six great-grandchildren.
And not your own church? Just your own family?
We can start a good church.
That's amazing. Do you have any children in the music business?
I have one, my son.
Your son.
Lassie,
yeah.
And my two daughters, Elizabeth and Candy. And another daughter in North Carolina, Melanie. And I have grandchildren that just sing and perform out of this world, but I'm so interested in their education.
Yeah.
And I push the education, and along with their mothers and fathers, we strive about the education. That's one of the reasons why my daughter, Elizabeth, is just completing her record deal now. And her record will be released in June. Well, she graduates from UCLA in June. So it's time for her.
What label is she going to be on?
She's going to be on our label.
Your label.
And
what's the name of that?
Mercury Rocket. Mercury Rocket.
Anything to do with Mercury Records?
Or? No.
No. Okay.
I'm hoping we can get away with it, you know, without saying Rocket Records.
Okay.
I'm happy about it. The kids. And, you know, my son is a mortician. My daughter's a mortician now. So I'm retired. I don't have to worry about the mortuary.
So what inspired you to go into the mortuary business?
Well, my uncle, my aunt, who were morticians in Philadelphia, as a child, that was the answer for me. That was the church and the mortuary. I mean, because his personality was just so clean and so together and so organized. I never saw him without a suit or a tuxedo on, you know. I thought this was the life. This is the way a man should be. He was a gentleman a long time. Very classy.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to do.
So you are in that business solid.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'm retired, really. My kids are in it now. Victoria is a very fabulous mortician and funeral director. So is Selassie. Selassie's a funeral director also.
Yeah. Selassie's a good man. I had the pleasure
Thank
of meeting
you. Him. Thank you very
Excellent
much.
Excellent man.
He has six children now.
Six?
He has three sets of twins.
I want to ask you something that maybe stretch your mind a little bit. I come out of Atlanta. You remember the Atlanta Builders and Contractors Club?
Oh, God, yeah.
Clifford Hunter?
Yes, indeed. He's a very big man.
Yeah.
Very big man.
Is he still around, do you know?
I think he is, yeah.
I did a lot of work for him. In fact, I recorded an act he had, a young act called Gladys Knight.
In the pits, yeah.
Yeah. At NRC Studios in Atlanta.
Well, you remember Henry Wynn?
Oh, sure.
People don't speak of Henry Wynn.
No.
Henry Wynn was one of the giants. He was the greatest black promoter we've ever had.
Absolutely.
He was the only promoter that ever paid you.
That's right. You ever play the Royal Peacock?
Are you kidding? He owned the Royal Peacock.
Yeah.
He bought it from Cary Cunningham.
Yeah.
Who owned the bank.
Yeah.
The first black bank. Atlanta National Bank in Atlanta.
Atlanta was the place.
Atlanta was the place. Auburn Avenue?
Yeah, Auburn Avenue.
Henry's Grill?
Yeah.
He ate at Henry's Grill, man, with his lunch special?
Yeah.
$1.99, all you can eat.
And I'm the cashier, too. So you can pay me.
Oh, beautiful. Good. I can't let me see you.
You remember Jockey Jack, of course.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, very sad note to Eddie O'Jay passed.
No. No.
Easter. I was talking with Pastor Foreman in New York, who works with Hal Jackson. And he told me that I talked with Eddie over the Christmas holidays. And very sad. He passed a heart attack.
Man. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'll have to do something about that.
I give you 28 back.
Oh, really? Oh, great. Fantastic.
Right?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Solomon, your goals for the future?
My goals for the future is to finish this album, go on and do a country album, and then a jazz album, and then we'll be complete. We have maybe 5 more albums to do in the secular world.
Yeah.
And then after that, basically, we'll retire to the church in the year 2000. I'll be doing nothing but the gospel, nothing but the church in the year 2000. The Lord bless me to live to see to you in the year 2000. This is what we're working on now, the foundation of the church, and building a great, great church for all people. This is my dream and desire.
That's amazing.
Because the future is so needed for people. You see, we're not. The churches aren't doing anything for people.
Yeah.
They're doing something for themselves, but not for people. And we need to educate our people. We need to house our people. We need to feed them spiritually and physically. We don't just need to feed them a fish. We need to teach them to fish so that they can eat the rest of their lives, mentally and educationally.
Yeah.
So that they can financially rise to the heights of life they want to. Because the past is gone. There's no more yesterday. Everything is the day after tomorrow. There's not even tomorrow, it's the day after tomorrow. That's how fast it's going.
That's right.
And some of us will make it, and some of us won't.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing this now. You're not doing this for today. You're doing this for next week or next month. You know, and it's already gone.
For aspiring young musicians, people coming up, struggling, what do you got to say to them?
Educate yourself. Know what you're doing. Keep as far away from drugs and alcohol as you can. Set your goals in the highest heights of possible. Stay with it. Don't give up. Keep the faith and belief in yourself and your God.
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
Hey.
Hi.
John, you know my wife.
How are you doing?
Sunday.
Please, can you sit down? I have to ask you one more thing.
I'll wait in the car.
This is for you.
Oh, okay. Wait in the car then.
Just one more second.
Okay.
All right, I want one more thing from you. I want you to tell me your favorite road story. When you were on the road. Now, I understand you sold your own popcorn. And
We did all that.
You were a hawker. What is your one of your best remembered roads?
I think the greatest story that I can remember, I used to have a driver named Robert Lee Dean, who was my driver. And one day we had hired another driver
who was named Hilo the Great. So we let Hilo, because Hilo was on my show, he was like a MC, and he performed in a casket.
So who was the proper guy to drive the limo? Hilo the Great, right? So we let Hilo take the limo. And I put all my dancers and stuff in the limo. And the limo went ahead of us, and we rented a truck because we needed a B3 organ to go to this gig.
So
we rented the B3 organ in the truck, and I rode with Robert Lee Dean and my brother Ed. And we were in the back of the truck. Sleep, you know, riding down the highway, knowing the limousines are running, everything's cool. And for some reason or another, it was weird. We're driving down this highway, it's like raining, you know. And I look, when I see Robert Lee Dean driving the truck, it was one of those trucks with a side slide back like the old bridge trucks. Next thing I know, there was nobody behind the wheel. Nobody. And I'm screaming, I'm saying, Robert, I think he died. You know, something happened to him. He's not behind it. We're running towards the truck, and the truck's just going down the highway like it's 60 miles an hour. And going to the other, Jesus, save us, help us, Lord. You know, and my brother grabs the wheel, you know, and I'm trying to grab the brake. Two of us up there trying to grab his truck. So we finally get the truck under control. And we look back, and there's Robert Lee Dean laying out on the highway. So by the grace of God, the man's okay. Maybe like 60 cars almost hit him. He fell asleep. Fell out of the truck. So the police came and they stopped the traffic and everything, and we got off the exit and turned around to come back to get him. And he was standing in the middle of the highway talking to the police, and the police were saying, how did you get in the middle of this highway? And he says, I refuse to testify on the ground of my incriminating. And so we pull up, and the police said, do you know this man? And he said, no, they don't know me. I said, yeah, we know him. He said, no, you don't know me. I said, we know him. Is he okay? He fell out of the truck. He said, never seen those guys before in my life. And I said, what are you doing, Robert? Are you okay? You really hurt? I said, officer, he really hurt himself. This guy, I've been knowing him for years. This is my friend. He said, we want to take him to the hospital. I think he's hurt. Something wrong with this guy. I said, have you any ID? He says, no, I don't have any ID, and I don't remember who I am. I said, Robert, he's really hurt, officer. We got to take him to the hospital. He says, we can't force him. There's no blood or nothing. He says, he fell out of his truck. He said, how fast are you going? I said, at least 60 miles an hour. So the police now, we got like 8 police cars. The chief is there. The sergeant is there. The highway patrol is there. So they said, do you have any ID? He said, no, I have no ID. I said, damn, I'm that wild, two cutting pounds like this. He said, big mouth, get people in trouble.
I'm trying to think, what is going on? So they pull out Robert's wallet. He pulls out, has one of these wallets, you know, that you pull out and
the cord in. Yeah.
He has 27 different social securities and 4 driver's licenses.
Oh, man.
The guy says, well, who are you?
He said, I refuse to testify on the grounds of my integrity. He said, well, who's all these social creatures? Those are my brothers.
He said, you got 8 brothers? He said, yes, why do you have the social security? He said, when I see him, I'm going to give him the social security.
The police said, do you know this man?
Yes, we do, officer. He said, you know what? Get him out of our state because we don't want to put him in our jail. He may contaminate your
man, you bad. I'm going to let you get out of here.
To me, that was one of the greatest road stories.
That goes. I'm going to put that in. You got to autograph my book here, man.
Here. You know, we should have had the wet dick between you and I.
That's true. That's true. Maybe I can get a waitress real quick. Major fan, and you got to do it on a napkin.
my man.
Excellent. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You
now,
doctor.
Here, do this.
What do you want me to do?
This is John Sims. S-I-M-S. Who's a big, big fan of yours.
S-I-M-S.
I appreciate that. The man
Thank
will
you,
be
doctor.
Very, very, very happy. Now, I will take a picture of it.
John, I think it's July 2nd?
Yeah.
Little Richard?
Yeah.
Tom Jones and myself. Going to be in the Greek Theater. You got to be my guest. If you
I would love it.
Okay.
I would love it.
Can you get some tickets?
You got it. Okay. I need some records to play on you, man. I need
I'll
some
get
records.
You some. Okay. And give me the address.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Hi, how you doing, buddy?
I know you're running late, and I don't want to hang you up. But I tell you what I would like to have. If you have anything from Apollo, anything,
okay.
A cassette would be fine.
You know who has a lot of good stuff? Call them Rhino.
Rhino?
They've got a lot of good stuff on me.
Okay.
They
should
a lot
I call
of the
it Rhino?
Anybody.
Okay.
Anybody over there, just tell them, you know, you want some of the Sollenberg stuff for your
okay.
your organization.
All right.
And they know you. They know you. They love you. And they will do a great job. Okay. And I will try to get you the Apollo stuff and the Virgin stuff. Okay?
Well, I would appreciate it because I don't know what happened over there.
Well, there, it's been a little shake-up over there, you know.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, you know, Fifield resigned.
Yeah. Well, what about, what's his name, the other guy?
Well, John Willard.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he never did really love me. You know, because I came in through the other door. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bye.
Say bye, Sol.
Bye-bye. We love you.